Welcome to The Wolf Whistle, the podcast that interviews and celebrates the former players of our great club, Wolverhampton Wanderers. Welcome to The Wolf Whistle.
Welcome to a continued special series of Wolf Whistle podcasts where we speak to former players about their best 11 from their time at the club. We're very lucky to be joined today by a former midfielder from the 90s, Simon Osborne. Simon, how are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks, Jase. Down here in London, obviously, is a very difficult time for a lot of people. So, currently still working, mate, but trying my best to obviously social distance and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's difficult, mate. It's difficult, but we've got to try and keep going.
Yes, yes, we certainly have. So, thank you for your time today, Simon. I've tasked you with your best 11 from your time at the club. With regards to your formation, what are you going to go for, Simon?
Going for a 3-4-3 sort of formation, mate.
Flipping it.
Yeah, a little bit different, mate, but I like to change things up a little bit. Difficult. Like I said, there's an awful lot of players I played with, some very good players and ones, you know, there's, as you know, in football, it's all about opinions and different bits and pieces. So
yes.
I could have probably picked two 11s, if I'm honest with you, but I've had to narrow it down to the ones that, and again, they won't be everyone's popular choices, but ones that I enjoy playing with, ones that worked well with me and I saw certain things in. So that's kind of how it works. And I'm sure when listening to a couple of the other guys, it's very, very difficult to do.
Yes, oh, certainly it is. And, you know, players have to leave certain players out and it is difficult. So who are you going to start with in goal in your three, four, three, Simon?
Yeah, so my goalkeeper really has to be the one and only Mike Stowell. Obviously, I played with Mike the majority of the time I was at Wolves there and he was always Mr. Dependable, never rarely injured. And he just was a good goalkeeper, good guy to have around. At certain times would get you sort of out of jail, and he got me out of jail very early in my career at Wolves when I gave away a penalty at West Brom, so he'd done me a favour there. But no, Stowley I played with a lot of times at Wolves, and I think he's number one. Obviously a little bit later in my career, Matt Murray and Michael Oakes were there, but Stowley was the number one for me, mate.
Brilliant. So you're 3-4-3, are you going with three centre halves or how are you doing it?
Yeah, I've got three centre halves in there, mate. So I've got first centre half, I've got Keith Curl.
Keith
came in while I was there, obviously played for England, getting on in years, but very experienced, still fit as a fiddle, still quick, read the game really well, good organiser. So I didn't get on with him all the time. We had our rows, but that was fine. But, you know, he was a good, solid player. And, you know, you could see he'd played at a higher level.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he did have a great career, Keith. I suppose that obviously coming to Wolves, it was a time where we did have a few players that had dropped from the Premier League and come down. So his experience was invaluable, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, mate. And like I said, he was a good captain, and he like I said, he knew the game and kept himself really fit. And most of you could sort of Mr. Dependable, normally a 7 out of 10 every single week, and that's kind of what you wanted.
Yeah, brilliant. So who is going to partner Keith at the back?
Well, you've got alongside him as a sort of a sweeper stroke, someone that could walk, step into midfield. We've got Neil Emblem. Obviously, I played with Neil, probably my best mate when I was at Wolves. But a really good player, Neil.
Very good.
Kind of got named a little bit at times as a utility player, but I think his best position was always in a back two or back three. More so definitely a back three, where I think he'd have been perfectly suited. Could pass the ball, good athlete, you know, decent in the air. Scored his fair share of goals, in all fairness, when they threw him into midfield. So, you know, he was very, very comfortable with bringing that ball out from the back as well. So he'd be in there. And like I said, yeah, he was a Mr. Dependable as well in there, and certainly one of the more fans' favourites. And I think quite a few would look around that time. He was there for the short spell, and then obviously went off to Crystal Palace and came back. So
I think to be fair, we did sign Neil as a centre half, where you're playing him. But then he obviously got moved into midfield, and he was a successful midfielder as well. But I think we originally signed him as a defender.
Yeah, he did. I played against him when he made his debut. I was at Reading and he was at Wolves. He didn't, and he'll probably tell you himself, he didn't have the best of debuts.
I remember it.
Very well. But no, his preferred position, and he'll tell you that himself, was in a back three, or certainly as a centre-half. And that's where he obviously signed from Millwall from. But again, because of his ability to play centre-forward, centre-midfield, right side of a three in midfield or whatever, he kind of got shifted around a little bit. And I think that's probably to his detriment.
Yeah. So, who is the other defender partnering Neil Emblem and Keith Curl, Simon?
the one and only, obviously, resting, God rest his soul, Dean Richards.
What a player.
Dean was a Rolls Royce of a player, laid back, quietish lad, but a very, very good footballer. You know, obviously went on to do good things, and unfortunately his life got cut short. But Dean was comfortable on the ball, could head it. You know, very, very calm in certain situations, probably too calm at times, and probably gave managers heart problems at certain times. But yeah, another one that could play right, centre, left, very comfortable bringing a ball out. Scored a few important goals for us as well. So yes. Dean was very good. Obviously, unfortunately, had a terrible car crash, but then came back after that and still showed how good a player he was.
Yeah. Oh, he was different class. And like you said, that's probably the best way to describe him, calling him a Rolls Royce, because he was exactly that.
Yeah, he was, mate. Like I said, he does, you know, he was very, very comfortable. And in that era, it wasn't all about centre-halves bringing the ball out. And, you know, obviously Southampton and Tottenham saw something in him that we all did when we were training with him. And again, he wasn't the best of trainers in the world. He'd be okay, but when it comes to a game, he was spot on, mate.
Yeah. Okie doke. So, who is going to be your four across? I mean, what are you doing in the midfield? Are you playing two wingers and two central midfielders?
I've kind of got two, yeah, sort of wing-backs type. So wider players, and then sort of two in the middle. Obviously, I've got to play myself, so I need some help in there, mate.
Flipping egg. So, you might have to pick a few more.
I might have to pack the midfield to cover my indiscretions, mate. Yeah. So on the right side of that sort of midfield four, I've got Kevin Muscat. Muzzy was very underrated as a player. I think people obviously saw the nasty side in Kev, which was part of his makeup, but obviously part of what made him. But Kev was a really good footballer.
Yes.
Solid, dependable, someone you could rely on. Obviously a good captain as well. You know, we've got myself obviously been captain. Kevin and Curly have been captains in that team at one point or another. And Kev was a really good footballer. Great engine.
Yes.
Could get up and down. Good delivery on the ball. Scored a couple of goals. Didn't score as many, but he's someone you'd want alongside you, certainly in the trenches. And he done well at Wolves, I thought. And again, I think
something.
I think certain incidents probably blighted that a little bit, and I think people didn't realise how much of a good footballer he was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was. Look, he was a hard player, as we know, and I think there was a few mistimed tackles chucked in. But like you said, he's one you want on your team. You want him, you know, in your side rather than be playing against him.
100%. Like I said, he's a, you know, Australian international, captain that side as well. So, you know, you don't get to do that by being a poor player. And like I said, he was a good player, you know, could train a good player. And somebody, like I said, it was a bit... Again, there's other people I thought about in there. But for somebody that, again, you're looking at a team and who would be sort of 7 out of 10 week in, week out, he's in there.
Yeah. So who are you playing on the left-hand side then, Simon?
So on the other side, I'm going to play Steve Froggatt. Obviously, Froggy was, when I first got there, was flying, doing really well. Unfortunately, got a really strange injury when he had the sort of blood clot, which knocked him back a little bit. But yeah, he was a fantastic athlete, could get up and down that left side, great crosser of a ball. And it just for that left side, again, like I said, there was a real bit of a toss-up between him. Lee Naylor came in a little bit later for me, again, another really good player, Lee. But Froggy, just for the amount of times he played with me, and it was always a get out. Sometimes, you know, he'd pick the ball up and sort of run 60 yards. I think we can all remember the West Brom game and where he sort of done bits and pieces like that. And that's just what he was. He was a purely get out. Again, very, very fit guy. Lovely left foot. And I think he kind of got thrown out to that sort of left wing back a lot of times. And I thought he'd done really well. But again, very comfortable left wing as well.
Yeah, yeah. And he was quick as well, wasn't he?
He was quick. He was a good runner. He was very quick, and again, he was direct, quick, through the long distance, very fit. And again, he was a good one to have out there. A good bit of balance out there. Nice left foot to be able to do that.
Brilliant. So, who's doing your work? I'm sorry. Who's the two midfielders, Simon?
Well, that's not very nice, is it? Now, so I've kind of got a two with a one in front. So I've got myself in there,
yeah,
and obviously alongside me, somebody that people will probably disagree with this one, but I just had a good relationship with him when I played with him, and I felt that he was, again, one of those players that was quite underrated. I've got Kyle Robinson alongside.
Okay, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, just, you know, there's an awful lot of players in this position that, you know, Steve Carrickas, Vinny Samways, Tony Dinning, Darren Ferguson, the list is endless. You know, Gordon Cowans, yes, when I first got there, Paul Birch. The list of midfielders that we've sort of been in and around there was... it's quite frightening, really, of what we had in and in at Wolves in around that time, and lots of change. But I just felt at that particular time, he kind of complemented my game quite well.
Yeah.
I like to get on the ball and like to try and dictate play. Where Kyle was somebody who liked to break forward more. You know, was a very, very good finisher. In all fairness to Kyle, and neat, tidy, very on that ball. But again, he just complimented me at that time, and I felt comfortable playing alongside him. And at times, like I said to you, he'd be able to dig in as well. And he's just one of them players, as I said to you when we previously done a podcast, Jase, you sort of get on well with players and they kind of know what you're about and what you're not. And I just kind of gelled really well with him.
Yeah, I mean, for you, Simon, you said yourself that you always like to try and pick a pass, and sometimes it had come off, i.e. against Birmingham, where you put the ball over the top to Bulley last minute when we won 3-2. But then sometimes you try it and it doesn't come off. But like you said, it didn't stop you from playing your game, did it, Simon?
No, that's right. And what sometimes happens is you know, Cole could get on the ball. He was quite comfortable, neat and tidy. And like I said, Gerard, sometimes when I first probably started at Wolves, I'd be a bit more attacking in just the way we'd set up. And Vinny Samways was there, who liked a little bit older, liked to sit in. And I just felt it worked really well with Cole at certain times. And again, at certain times, there was myself, him and another, which is kind of what I've done here. But again, he'd make good runs forward. So you'd be able to try and find a pass to somebody or maybe another pass on for sort of Cole. And if he got in the box, more often than not, in fairness to him, he could score a goal.
Yeah. Yeah, he did score a lot of goals, actually, for the club. So who would your front three be then, Simon?
Well, my front three, I've got someone sort of in the hole and then two up top. So the player in the hole I've got is Robbie Keane.
Robbie Keane.
Robbie. So again, don't need to say anything about Robbie. His stats speak for himself. Top goal scorer from Ireland. When he was at Wolves, obviously a young lad just coming through, but you could tell instantly the moment he started training with the first team, he had something about him.
Yeah.
He was one-on-ones, very, very frightening. Didn't want to be a defender against him, but he'd get in good positions, a clever footballer, could finish. He kind of had a bit of everything. Probably not blessed with the most blistering pace. Wasn't slow by any means, but what he did make up for, he had fantastic movement and great understanding and knowledge of the game.
Oh,
and like
beautiful.
I said, I can put him into that sort of that little role there because he's very, very comfortable dropping back in and picking balls up and running at people. So
yes,
I'd kind of put him in there. I really don't have to say too much about Robbie, to be honest with you. I think Wolves fans would agree and what he went on and done in his career.
Incredible. So who's partnering? Well, sorry, if Robbie's playing just behind the front two, who's your front two? Who's getting your goals?
Right, so the front two is, obviously, there is no name. Mr. Ball has the guy up top as one. Obviously, again, I had a great understanding with Bully. The man was a legend when I got there, but he was just a fantastic goal scorer. You know, he'd score goals out of nothing. He'd work hard for the team. You know, he'd never going to say to you he's the most blessed of gifted footballers at dribbling and whatever else. But Ball went up there, he'd have a fight with it, get it and stick. But again, if you were looking to make a pass, as I said to people before, I can't play a pass without a run. And Bully would always look to get on the shoulder of a defender and try and make that run in behind. And I'd try and find him. And like I said, I set up a fair few goals for Bully, but that was all down to his running. Again, if you got in crossing positions, it'd always be in and around the box. And his goal scoring for Wolves was absolutely frightening. And to get that amount of goals throughout his career was brilliant. And it was just a shame it came a little bit to the end when his knee started playing up towards the end of his career there. But fantastic goal scorer, mate. Absolutely top notch. Wouldn't be so brilliant in the training sessions on a Friday, but come a Saturday, if he got a chance, more often than not, mate, it was in the back of the net.
Yeah, 100%. So who would you partner with, Mr. Ball?
Well, I've put Don Goodman. Again,
okay.
real big decision. But I always felt when the two of them played together, they was a real handful.
Yeah?
Don, with his strong running, obviously would run the channels. Very, very good in the air, Don, for someone who wasn't particularly big. And I think him and Bully really did strike up quite a good understanding at certain times. Don would run the channels and create some opportunities. And Bully would feed off of that. And again, Don was a pretty good goal scorer in his own right as well. So, and done a little bit of the sort of, not the dirty side of it, but the closing down, the pressing. And again, I think he was another one. It was a bit unfortunate. He got a real serious injury, as we know, at Wolves there. And I think that sort of stopped him a little bit.
Yes.
But he was, prior to that, doing really well. When I first came, again, was a great outlet. If he was really under pressure, you could stick the ball up to him, strong, aggressive. And I think them two just gelled really well, to be honest with you, at certain times. And it was a shame they didn't play probably more.
I mean, you say about the injury. I mean, he fractured his skull. I mean, that is just a terrible injury to come back from, isn't it?
Yes, horrendous. Like I said, I was the one who took the corner. We used to have a little bit of a routine to try and hit a little near post corner, and I was the one that did it. And then when I got to him, obviously saw how bad he was, and it was quite a shock. And it took him an awful long time to get back from that. But he was again good, strong, willing run. A little bit different to Bully in respect that he would show up and hold the ball up, but also would run the channels. And again, a real danger in the air.
So, who is your manager of this team, Simon?
Well, manager was a difficult one. Obviously, I've got respect for all the managers I had and worked under a few while I was there. But I had to go with the one that signed me at Wolves because obviously took me out of QPR when he didn't go so well. So Mark McGee would be my manager.
Okay.
Very fortunate that he obviously went to Wolves and liked me from my days at Reading. And then took me up to Wolves, and I spent a real good 6 years up at Wolves from there. So I always got on well with Mark, always enjoyed playing in his teams. Again, I played under lots of managers, you know, Colin Nee, John Wall, Dave Jones. But I just always felt comfortable in Mark McGee's teams, and obviously very thankful that he signed me at Wolves, which was a massive move for me, and I enjoyed my time there immensely.
Brilliant. Well, your team then, Simon. In goal, Mickey Stoll. Your three defenders, Keith Curl, Neil Emblin and Dean Richards. Your four across the midfield. On the right-hand side, Kevin Muscat. Left-hand side, Steve Froggitt. Centre midfielders, your good self and Cole Robinson. And your three forwards, Steve Ball, Don Goodman and Robbie Keane, just dropping behind, and your manager, Mark McGee. So you pleased with that, Simon?
Yeah, no, I am. Like I said to you, there was an awful lot of players that are on that list, mate, that, you know, that you're sort of looking through. John DeWolf, Matt Murray, Adi Akinbaye. There's an awful lot of players that you can look at, you know, and sort of say, and there's an argument, and this is the great thing about what you're doing with the podcast here. People will look at it in different lights and see different players and think, oh, I didn't really like him. And again, it's what I saw. And don't forget, this is not just based upon games alone as well. This is based upon training and the way things worked with me. So this is just how I saw it. And like I said, this is why it's so good. Neil Emblin, obviously, you've got launching his podcast very soon. It'll be a completely different team, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, actually, I had a chat with Neil. We're launching Neil's tonight. The thing is about Neil, you know, he picked a similar team, actually, but like your team, such a strong team. And the frustrating thing is, as Wolves fans, how this team never made the Premier League, I'll never know, because there were some seriously good players. And don't forget, there was big squads back then. And there was, like you said, you've mentioned another 8 or 9 players who can't get in this team. How on earth they didn't make the Premier League is beyond me.
I know, that's a night in itself, Jay. That's a night in itself, my friend. Like I said, the list, honestly, mate, you sort of go back, and I was trying to remember players I was playing with and thinking, have I missed anybody? It's frightening. Like we said, we talked about Lee Naylor, Jamie Smith, Tony Dinning.
Yeah.
Go on, you know, we could keep reeling out names, if you know what I mean, for the next sort of 5 minutes. And again, you look at that team on paper and go, wow, how come we didn't do that? You know, I've missed Tony Daly, he's an England international.
Of course.
I've missed Adie Williams, he's a Welsh international. So there's, you know, there's a multitude of players that are there.
Yeah.
That's all. So it's very, very difficult to sort of pick one player in certain positions. And like I said, we could all change it. And this is the brilliance of it. Like I said, your Wolves fans will see a different one.
Yes.
Which is great, which is the whole point. Football has opinion. And those opinions are what we sort of have it. And at the moment, obviously, we're missing football. And these are a good way to stir up a little bit of interest and for people to discuss it, mate.
Well, that's it, Simon. Well, listen, I want to thank you for your time, Simon. We'll get you back on the podcast very soon. And stay safe.
No problem at all.
Cheers, Simon.
Take it easy, Jake.
Bye now.
Bye, mate.